people here yesterday. A lot of them I did not know. I tried to get around to visit with everyone, at least to say hi. And the purpose of greeting them was not so they'd know who I am. I wanted to know who they were, and I wanted to greet them just like anyone else, and it's just like all of you. When I see you on Sunday mornings or at the grocery store or wherever it is, I wanted them to feel that they were welcome here. I'm not bragging on me. It was what I asked everyone to do yesterday. When we gathered here in the sanctuary at 2 o'clock, we said, you know, that we have a duty. We have a duty to greet people and make them feel welcome in Christ's name. Well, it goes deeper than that, and that's what this book's about in our Christian walk, and we're going to go to John chapter 10 in a moment. But before we get there, we want to emphasize this scripture. This scripture says to receive one another, and it means just that. Receive them. Bring them into the fold like lost sheep. When Jonathan and Joni walked in the door this morning, and little Ruthie, I said, there's the lost sheep. They've come home. They've moved to Columbus on us. Daggone it. But we know they're in a place that they need to be. It was so good to see them this morning. But I wanted everybody to feel that way yesterday, and we should want everyone to feel that way in our life, shouldn't we? But it goes so deep that we need to be very careful about saying, oh yeah, Pastor Craig, we'll do that. We'll make sure everybody's welcome here. That means everyone. And that means opening your arms to the world. Because Christ said, my gospel, my message of peace and love is not just for the Jews anymore. When Christ came on the scene, he said it's for everyone. And the scripture that Paul wrote is emphatic in what it says. Receive everyone just the way Christ has received you. If you are a Christian, if you are a self-proclaimed Christian, it is your spiritual duty to receive everyone. I'm not going to get into colors or backgrounds or anything of that nature, or where people are from in this world, because the gospel message written down by the Apostle Paul is plain. He's trying to emphasize that our religious freedom that we have, and I don't like the word religion, by the way. Our faith is what I base my calling on. Our faith is based on things that we cannot see, but it's the love that we can feel from the Lord and that acceptance that we have from God. Do you feel accepted? Do you? Do you feel that you have been accepted by God and that you have this freedom to know that if you die today, that you're going to be in heaven with God? Do you believe that? Do you feel it? Don't you want others to feel that? Why don't we write, God bless you, why don't we write on the prayer list, pray for my family for salvation? Isn't it because you want them to feel the same thing that you feel? The same peace that you feel? Isn't it? Wouldn't you want that for the rest of the world if you could? Wouldn't you want Kim Jong-un? Don't laugh. Wouldn't you want him to come and worship here and accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Because if he did, he would lay down his weapon. You see what Paul's talking about? That's the walk that we're supposed to be on. The world needs to know that we believe that we can live without swords and shields because we are free. My Bible says if you have the truth, and the truth is Christ, that's another word for Christ Jesus. If you have the truth, that the truth will set you free. And then you should be free to accept all people. Let's read this verse again before we turn to John chapter 10. Romans 15:7. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us. And see, the part that I didn't even say when I was down there talking with you is the very last part of it. We say we want to praise and serve the Lord. That's what that song said, isn't it? We say we're going to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and make Him our own. That's part of another song, right? So the scripture there, how does it end, folks? How does that end? To what? To pat each other on the back? To say what a good church you have? Or to glorify God? I'll do the bragging on you people from here and thanking you and lifting you up, and you help each other too and lift each other up. But if we're going to do some serious bragging outside these walls, it needs to be about what the Lord has done in your life. Once I was lost and now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. So turn, go ahead and turn now to John chapter 10, and we'll get involved in this walk with Jesus Christ. John chapter 10. To walk with the Lord, you have to first make up your mind that you are going to do it. We can talk about it all day long. We can talk about it. We can write about it. We can post notes about it. We can get on social media. We can do all sorts of things about saying things about our faith. And it's good. I hope you would use social media for praising the Lord and for talking about Him rather than talking about each other for once. So if you're going to use social media, how about using it for good? How about praising the Lord, thanking Him for a good day, giving Him the honor and the glory and the praise instead of talking bad about your neighbor? You have to make up your mind that you're going to walk with Him and follow Him. It's not a side-by-side thing. There's that old story about walking on the beach, you know, and it was suddenly there was two footprints, and then it was only one set, and that's when the Lord picked you up and carried you. Well, that's how he gets the lost sheep back. I believe He does carry us, but the important thing to remember from your Bible and what we're about to look at this morning is you need to follow Him. Follow in those footsteps. That's how I'd rather look at it. Because you will never, ever make a wrong turn if you follow the instructions from Christ. That's the trouble we get into in this life. We're walking down a road and we're attempting to walk the way we're supposed to, and something grabs our attention and turns us away from the Lord. Brian, do you have that? I know it's hard to read. Can you put that up there about sin? I told you this last week. Sin. He'll get it up there in a minute. You can't read that. This was this little church in the mountains. It's the Dry Fork Assembly of God Church. It's where we were last week. It says, sin fascinates, then assassinates. It's what happens to us when we're walking down this road and we have the best intentions, total best intentions, and then all of a sudden, we get sidetracked. Something catches our attention. When you are surfing the web, when you go to look something up, I don't know how many of you do this, but I'm guilty of it. Something will pop out and we'll go, oh, that's interesting. And then before I know it, I've started looking for maybe a 1970 Nova with a 3.96 engine and 4-speed. And yeah, seriously, I do that. And then before I know it, I'm looking at army tanks for some reason. You ever get that sidetracked? I'll be doing something I don't even want to do. I'll be furniture shopping. That's why I ask them to keep those doors closed, and I get so distracted. It's so easy. Jeff tries to get me all the time. See there, I mentioned your name again. This chapter of John, chapter 10, is illuminating. It is about the light. It is how to follow. It's who to follow. And here it is. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." There's only one way in to the family of God, and that is to come through Christ and his blood. It's the only way. To approach it any other way, to try to have some type of religion where you think that you're going to be saved by doing something other than admitting who Jesus Christ is. Jesus himself says, in my red letter edition Bible here, Jesus says, you are a thief and a robber, trying to steal something that doesn't belong to you because you have not given God the honor and the praise and the glory for shedding his own life's blood for us. That is the only way to Christ and to salvation. Verse 2, Christ says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep," here it is, "he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." This is about following. This Christian walk, everyone, you've heard the saying, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, that might work in our daily world, but it doesn't work with your spiritual life. We can have one leader. We have lots of people who like to do great things here in this church, and we thank them for their leadership in doing certain tasks. But we all need to have one thing that we are doing prior to that. And that is, all of us should be following one person and one person only. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's the Christian walk. He shows us where and how to put our feet. He keeps us off of slippery slopes. Our children, God bless them. We love them. And maybe this is the case for all children. I don't know. I don't think ours are any different than any other child ever born. We came through hardships, and then we tried to tell our children not to do the same thing. But instead of taking the easy road and the road that we had prepared for them, they instead decided to climb up a slippery slope in their life. Has that ever happened? Have you ever seen a child do that? You think you've given them every opportunity, and here it is, it's laid out for them, and instead of taking the road that is easy to walk on, they have to climb up the steepest, slipperiest slope there is. In other words, it's the same old thing. Don't do as I do as I say. But the problem is, and I've told this church a million times, our children will never do what we say, but they will do what you do. So if you are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and honoring him, then I believe your children will follow along as well. Let's read the rest of this together. I get excited about this scripture every time I read it because it reminds me, this scripture reminds me how stubborn I am. Did you hear that? I just confessed something to you. Some of you already know how stubborn I am. One of you knows really well how stubborn I am. No, she's sitting in the back today. What's it say about anybody that enters by any other way? Jesus Christ is very plain here in verse 5. It says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We tell our children this all the time, don't we? Don't take candy from a stranger. Don't do this. Don't get in a car. Don't do this. Don't do that. Little boy yesterday down in the play area, I was getting ready to come up the hill, and he'd lost his sister. And I said, well, I'll take you and help you find your sister. And I said, I had the mule down there, our little four-wheel thing, and I said, just go ahead and get on, and I'll take you up the hill to find your sister. You know what? He wouldn't get on. And I said, you know what? That's great. Somebody taught that child well. Don't listen. He didn't know me. I didn't know him well. One of the little guys that come here regularly. So he wouldn't get on. He wouldn't get on the mule. Thank God. I thought after that, thank God. Someone has taught that child, don't do that. And you know what? The child didn't do it. Are we listening? Are we listening to strangers, or are we listening to the Holy Spirit? It's a huge question. I didn't mean this today to be anything except an uplifting message for all of us, but the further I got into it last night and the further I get into it this morning, I understand that we're not doing a very good job as a people. I mean, as a general people of listening to God's Word, are we? We're listening to strangers. We're listening to people that tell us where to go, what to go, when to go, especially when. And it's starting to control our life. Our life is getting so out of control that we're listening to people all the time tell us to be here, be here, be here, be here. And at the end of the week, we've had no time for Christ. Our world has fallen apart listening to strangers. One family told me just recently that in one day they had five events for their children in one day. One day. And they said they didn't know how they were going to do that. And I said, are you asking me for an opinion? Or are you just saying that as a rhetorical thing? You know, I don't know how we're going to do that. And their answer to me was, get this, do you have any answers? And I said, you really don't want to hear what I have to say. You honestly do not want to hear what I have to say. Well, tell us anyway. Excuse me. I said, no, I don't think I will. And they said, go ahead. So, you know me, I did. I said, so you have five different events in one day. Have you ever thought about cutting a couple of those out? They immediately got mad. Immediately. They were nice about it. You ever had somebody be nice, mad at you? And then they weren't hanging around very long after that. They just left. G- Jesus uses this illustration. This is verse 6. It said, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Once you have Christ in your life, you have spiritual freedom. And that's what Paul was talking about there in Romans chapter 15. You can go in and out then. Once you have Christ and you're listening to him, you can go out into the world and still be safe, because you will be listening to his advice about what to do, where to go, and where to place your feet. If you go out into the world without him, you will slip and you will fall, and I am living proof that that will happen. The times when I do not pay attention to the Lord and how he's guiding me, it ends up badly. Is that a correct English? No, it is not. I wish you could see this. I wish it was bigger. This beautiful little church in the mountains. Sin fascinates, then assassinates. And that's what happens when we walk off of the road that Christ is trying to lead us down. Let's look at the rest of this together. Here is the verse that you all know. We used this last week. Christ has already identified who the thief is. In verse 1, we found out that people that try to come in and get a hold of you and tell you there's some other way to salvation and freedom and peace in your life, that they are thieves and robbers, right? And in verse 10, he clears that all up. He says the thief comes in to steal and kill and to destroy. And Christ said that he has come so that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly through him. But it doesn't come by just believing. We have to believe with our feet. You have to believe with your feet. It is about the walk we take then after we know him. If we recognize his voice, will we listen to him? Will we walk where he tells us to walk? Or will we continually listen to the thief? There are people in this world that will tell you that just be a good person and everything will be all right. You know what they're saying? Without verbalizing it, and God help them if they do, they're saying that Jesus Christ is unnecessary. The person of Christ is not necessary. Don't go out of here and paraphrase me and say that that pastor up there at Vanderhoof said that Christ is not necessary. I want you to get this right. The thief tells you on a daily basis in this world to just be a good person and it will be all right. And what they are saying by that, and I'm not mincing words, what that person is saying to you is that Christ is not important. My Bible says that there is only one way to freedom, happiness, and peace, and that is to come through Christ, through his shed blood for our sins. Period. Christ goes on about this good shepherd and this walk. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. There is nobody, there is no guru in this world. There is no spiritual advisor. There's no preacher, no pastor, no mom, no dad that can save your life. No one. No one can save your soul. As much as someone may love you, and as much as you love your children, you cannot save their soul. You can't do it. You can't pray enough. You can't do anything of your own accord, because we are sin creatures. And Christ was very hard on us in that last passage. It's about the Good Shepherd, and it's about following Him, but He was very hard on us. It's an eye-opener if you will listen to His words. Somebody said, we want to hear the truth. Well, this is the truth. The truth is that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Period. And it's not just saying it. It's living it. There needs to be proof in your life that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Proof. Because you are the next person that is supposed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're that person. Remember the first scripture we read? We're just about done. Romans 15:7. What does it say? What does Romans 15:7 say? Did you forget already? It says, receive one another as Christ has received you to the glory of God. If you're following Christ, you will receive others. And you will help them along the path. You will help keep them in the right way. You can do that. The things that you can do are so important. That's why your walk is so important. But it's who you follow as to who will, it's what the person will do behind you. Who do you have in front of you? That's the question. Who's in front of you guiding your life? Who are you following? Will you let go of your silly pride long enough to save yourself and to help guide others to Christ? It takes letting down. It takes letting go. It takes saying, I'm not in charge. Wasn't there a whole television series or something about Charles in Charge? Wasn't there something like that? Wasn't there? Charles, have you ever thought you were in charge? Pastor Charles, in your home with five boys and a wife, have you ever been in charge? Don't answer that. Christ isn't kidding here when He says that He's in charge. And we're going to read that, and we're going to be done in just a moment. We're going to talk more about this walk that we have with Christ next week. As long as Christ tells me to do this, that's what we're going to keep on doing. Because this church as a whole church, are you with me? Before we get done here this morning, it can't be just one of us or two of us or three of us, or four of us. This entire church, in order to make a difference in this community, has to be all following one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be responsible for one another, helping each other along that way. And if anyone falls to the side, my Bible says you need to stop and pick them up and help them get back on their feet. That's in Galatians chapter 6, if you'd like to see it. You should read that sometime. Galatians chapter 6. It says if somebody falls down, you just stop and you pick them up. I've got a little vacation Bible song about that. Let's end what Christ has to say here. He's not kidding about who's in charge. Verse 15 says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is in charge. He is the leader. There is no other leader. God has given him the authority to do what he does in this world, in this universe. We are to follow him. And it's very clear here that Christ is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Christ says that not only is there the flock that are the Jews, but there is another flock that I must come and get, and they're the Gentiles. That's us, anyone that's not a Jew. Anyone. Don't care where you were born. Ethiopia, Syria, Damascus, it doesn't matter where you have been born. Christ says that I will open my arms and I will call to the flock, and there will be one flock. One. One flock and one shepherd. That's it. And all peoples that believe in him and know his voice and are saved will be following him. Everyone. Black, now I'll talk about colors. Black, white, yellow, green, blue, purple. It doesn't matter who they are or where they've been. If they believe in Jesus Christ, they will be following him. One flock, one shepherd. And you'll see someday, you will see someday, whether it's before the rapture or after the rapture, if you are a Christian, you will see, and the rest of the world will see too, all those who have believed in Jesus Christ are not the same color, they're not the same size, they weren't born in the same place, they are from all over this earth. One shepherd, one flock. One. So if you want to walk with Christ, you have to let down your prejudices. People say, I couldn't go to church over there. I can't deal with those people. What are you talking about? There's only one Lord and one maker of all. And we are all his children. If you're not willing to walk in that line behind Christ with people of every color from every place on this earth. In fact, we read that scripture last week. It will be all people from all of the earth. All kinds of people from all. We have got to be willing to get in that line with everyone following Christ. And as Christians, along the way, I've got to help my brother if he falls. And you've got to help me if I fall, pick me back up and get me back in that line with Christ. It's our duty. And Romans, I told you, Romans is very blunt. Very blunt. Receive all people as Christ has received all people to the glory of God. It can't get any plainer. We cannot be prejudiced as Christians. You've got to take that hat off. If you've got it on, if it's in your heart, you have got to take it off. You've got to do something about it. You've got to pray about it. You need to. We all have prejudices in our life, and we all need to work on them. It can be about neighbors. It doesn't have to be about the color of skin. But those things permeate our society, and they make us all ill and sick. They make us a sick people. we're dying here, killing each other with prejudice. When Jesus said, I'm the only one that needs followed. I'm the only one that can save you. I'm the only one who was willing to die for you eternally. And he says in this passage, I will do anything for my people. And he proved it on the cross. And he proves it today. And he shows us many signs and many miracles. They're all around us. And we need to be able to see them and tell other people about them. Thank you, Gary, for your testimony this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sorry it had to happen to your dad in order for you to testify like that. Isn't that the way it goes? Sometimes something tragic has to happen for us to stand up and testify. And it is tragic. And we do pray for Edsel and for Bernice and for all the family. We pray for them this morning. For all of you who are hurting, for all of you who have things in your life that are tearing you up. But even in the midst of our worst day, we can find time to praise God. And that is the walk that you need to be on to show others that this is worth it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your walk. Help us as a body of believers to throw and cast away our prejudice. In Jesus' name, amen.